Welcome to episode number 28.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a big motorhome like a Class A, or a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. Well, this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes. Also by Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/roadtrekking, and Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, we have a lot coming up today in this episode of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. We've got a really fun interview we did down in Florida, where I happen to be coming to you from today, with a bunch of RVers. We were actually at a dealership and just hanging around and started recording, and Jennifer was giving some tours of our RV, and we'd met people from all over Florida who drove down to say hello and meet us. And anyway, there was a woman there who was shopping for an RV. It was her day off, and she had come by. She's been looking for a long time, and her only problem is convincing her husband to pull the trigger and just buy, get one. So we had a lot of fun. All of these other RVers who have one started giving her advice, and so I brought out the recorder and recorded it, and it's a really fun interview, and as well as getting a chance to listen to some of the RV trends and tips from the folks at the dealership we were at, which is Leisure Time RV in the Orlando area. Really nice time. So that's coming up a little bit later on. We also have some tech news of a couple of really cool apps that will, if you have any concerns about privacy when you're online, particularly when you're on with your smartphones, because you know all of the internet companies want to monitor everything you do. Well, we've got some great tips on how you can kind of thwart that that effort to invade your privacy. That's coming up later on. We have an off the beaten path destination of a place that Jennifer and I got to experience this past week that I think you're going to want to add to your RV travel bucket list. And we have a lot of news, a lot of RV news. You know, we're getting into the spring travel season now, so there is a ton of news. There was, you know, a lot of you guys like to camp out in Walmart parking lots. Everybody said, oh, it's really safe. Well, tell that to some of the RVers who were camping in a Arizona Walmart parking lot last week, where there was a wild shootout right in the area where RVers camp out. We'll tell you about that. There's a big motorhome recall if you happen to drive a Winnebago or know anybody from Class B's on up, including that very popular Class B era. It's being recalled by Winnebago. We'll tell you about that. And for those of you, a lot of you I know, because I get email all the time from you, are thinking about retirement. Well, we have a brand new survey that tells you the very best states to retire in America. All that coming up in this episode of Road Trekking, the RV Podcast.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, this is Rob from Charlottesville, Virginia. I have a question about weight. How often do you weigh your RV? And are you ever concerned about being overweight and the steps that you take in order to prevent that? Thank you.
Okay, Rob. Well, that is a very good question. It is one that particularly applies to those folks who have larger motorhomes, or those people who are pulling a travel trailer, because it is important to know your weight, and boy, there's just no simple explanation for it, but I'll try. It's not going to be simple, but I'll try and give you some information and some links here. You can look for anything I'm telling you, by the way, where I say there's a link or a reference. All you have to do is go to the show notes page, and that is roadtrekking.com/28. And so all of the links and references I mentioned in this podcast will be linked there, and you can come back to that at your leisure, click on it, it'll take you to the information. Now, you asked specifically about our motorhome, and I'll tell you the truth, I have never really weighed mine. I mean, I know from the stickers on the side of the door what the gross vehicle weight is, how much it can handle, what it weighs without all the stuff in it, and I just have never gone up. It's just not a concern of mine. It is, I think, on anything larger, and particularly on travel trailers, because here's the thing. If you really look at all this stuff, chassis manufacturers say that if a vehicle exceeds a certain weight and it's going to be towed, then you need to have supplemental braking for it. This is for travel trailers, those of you who have those. So you really need to know how much you can pull and how much extra weight that means and what it means in terms of stopping that thing you're trailing. So if you tow a trailer or another vehicle, you want to know that. Then you want to know your tire ratings. It's important to compare your wheel loads with the ratings of your tires. Remember, the tire ratings are going to vary with how much inflation you have. See, this is how it gets pretty darn confusing. If you discover you have a tire overloaded, you can often resolve that by messing around with the inflation. So you need to know tire load and inflation. That's particularly important for great big travel trailers. Now, I want to give you a research note for this thing. And I just, instead of having me read you a long thing, I will build in a link on the podcast show notes, roadtrekking.com/28, to a great research resource from the Family Motor Coach Association, the FMCA. Many of you know I write for their monthly magazine, and I'd say if you're not a subscriber or a member of FMCA, this is what you need to do, because it's a great resource. And their website is also very good, and they have a guide on weight called How to Weigh Your Motorhome. And this is important for those of you, particularly who are full-timers. The first time you weigh your motorhome is probably before you want to even finalize the purchase, they suggest. That way you can determine whether it's going to meet your needs in terms of what you're going to carry with you. So when you're purchasing a motorhome, you might not find a place that can weigh it wheel by wheel, which is the way weighing experts recommend. However, you can weigh each of the axles on it, and then you can evaluate the placement of storage areas and the liquid tanks and the major appliances, slide outs, generator, LP gas tank, all those things to see whether the distribution of those heavy components could cause you problems. So talk to the dealer about all of this, and you can read this guide that I will link to. When you buy or you weigh a coach, you want to have a good knowledge of your personal weight carrying requirements, and there is some help in that resource I just mentioned offers. You can, it'll help you with your calculations, but here are some approximate weights in pounds per gallon for you Canadian metric folks. You'll have to convert it yourself, but pounds per gallon of liquids. Now, for example, water weighs about 8.3 pounds per gallon. Gasoline weighs about 6 pounds per gallon. Diesel fuel, a little more, about 6.6 pounds. Propane weighs 4.2 pounds per gallon. And you need to add all of that in if you're traveling with your tanks full, which I seldom do, by the way. I always have a little bit in my tanks in case I want to use the restroom while we're stopped and we aren't hooked up or anything. But water's 8.3 pounds per gallon, so it really adds up. So remember all those liquids add up, and also everything you put in the RV has weight, including yourself and your traveling companion and your dog. So we know from the various weighing programs that the FMCA has been doing that the average couple in an RV carries about, are you ready for this? This is a big motorhome, a great big probably class A. The average couple carries, how much do you think? You're not going to believe it. In a Class A motorhome, the average couple carries about 2,000 pounds of stuff. And many full-timing couples carry as much as 3,000 pounds. Now, you're not going to carry that in a small motorhome like the Road Trek that Jennifer and I have, or any other Class B or even a Class C. But you can see that this stuff adds up, and there is no simple way for me to tell you how often you should weigh. Now, I got to tell you, because mine is smaller, I never weigh mine. I just never do. And I know I'm not adding that much stuff because I can't carry that much. That's one of the other benefits in having a class B, a small motorhome. So to that benefit, I hope that helps with trying to figure that out. And I will put links on the website. I have kind of a similar question that came in by email. So let me read that. And we'll go to that. It's from Ken. And Ken says, I have had my Road Trek now for 4 years now, and I love it. I have a question for you about tires. We need new tires as they're starting to crack, and trying to find the best brand and type. What do you have for a suggestion? Well, Ken, I have this is our third Road Trek that we're on now. We're in the Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. And it has still the standard tires that came with it. On my previous Road Trek that we drove, which was the E-Trek, we put about 65,000 miles on that, and I ended up getting new tires. And the ones I got, and the ones I think that are most recommended by other Class B motorhome drivers for Class Bs, is the Michelin LTX MS2. The Michelin LTX MS2. I loved those tires. They're expensive. I needed six of them, and I think it cost like $1,500 to get them all. But they're a great tire, just a great tire. Immediately, we noticed a difference in the ride. It was smoother. It just seemed to stay on the road better. I used those to drive through heavy snow, and we used them in on mountains up and down, and I love those, and I know a lot of other people do. Now, I want to give you another resource about that is specific to small motorhomes. And this is a story for the Road Trekking blog that our Camp Skunk, our Road Trekking reporter Camp Skunk, did on Class B tire pressure. And he talks all about that, what you need to know on tires. And it, too, is a rather complicated situation. I mean, you really want to understand a couple of things about tires. So, again, Camp Skunk's article on all of this will be easy to get. It's just go to roadtrekking.com/28 and look for the link that that Camp Skunk has, and I think you'll be you'll get all the information, because you know the topic of Class B tire pressure comes up a lot, as do tires, and as Camp Skunk points out, the average Class B van weighs somewhere around 5 tons, give or take. And that's a bit more than probably a ton per tire. Translates to a lot of load on those little black rubber donuts that you're rolling around on. And not all those black rubber donuts, as Camp Skunk says, are made the same. And not all the rubber donuts are suitable for a road trek. So he says the first stop when selecting the tire is look at the driver's side door. I mentioned that before to you. Over the door, look at the pillar, you know, on the doorpost there, and you'll find a label that tells you approximate tire information. So don't let anyone tell you something different, or don't let anyone tell you you should use a lower tire pressure for a better ride. Remember a few years ago, all those Ford SUVs that rolled on the highway? You know why? Because that was because of low tire pressure. Most of us on the heavy-duty chassis that are used for Class Bs are looking for load-range E tires. Load-range E tires are truck tires, essentially, and they're not extended-range passenger tires. Sometimes they're used on half-ton chassis, but, for example, Road Trek builds everything on either three-quarter ton or one-ton chassis, so all of those need load-range E tires. And sometimes you may see tires rated as the load index. Well, the load index is just a number with light-duty tires having a load index in the 80s, heavier duties load index in the hundreds. You can get yourself very confused by all of this stuff. So I'm going to send you this note, a link on the show notes. Just go there. There's also a great resource that is in that story called TireRack.com. You put in your model year and your vehicle type, and they'll provide the correct tire sizing for you. So you can check that out. And keep this in mind when you're checking those websites, that your Class B model, your Road Trek models particularly, are one model year newer than the chassis. For example, if you had a 2001 Chevy Road Trek, it's built on a 2000 Chevy G35 chassis. And that's just the way it normally works. So if you have a 2015 Road Trek, it was really built on the 2014 chassis, pretty much. So anyway, we've got links to all of that stuff, and I think you'll find lots of help. And that's a Camp Skunk article about tire pressure. So I hope that helps both of our questions. Sponsoring this part of the Road Trekking RV Podcast is Van City RV, serving RV shoppers from the center of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV is one of America's top dealers, specializing only in Class B motorhomes from the three major small motorhome manufacturers. They're in stock, they're on display, and Van City loves to deal. They only sell Class B's small motorhomes. The owner, Ray Dwyer, is considered the dean of Class B motorhome sales. Nobody knows small motorhomes better than Ray and his crew. They not only stock new models, they have a large inventory of used Class B's as well. They have a great fly and drive program. Shoppers from all over the U.S. choose Van City RV. They fly into St. Louis. They get picked up at the airport. They get taken to Van City. They get their new unit and drive it home. I've been to Van City RV. I've met Ray and Danny and the crew, and they have one of the top service centers in the country. And they've worked on our Road Trek motorhome, and I can personally attest to their skill and their expertise. Here is Dan, the van man, with this week's special.
Thanks, Mike. Well, you know, spring's here. We got spring training going on. Go Cardinals. Hey, we've got some great savings on some Road Treks out there. We got the Zions coming in here real shortly. Going to have some great deals. We're still looking for some great trade-ins. Need some good used stuff, so give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at VanCityRV.com.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news. Travel news. Tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the Road Trekking news of the week.
Well, we've got news of a big recall by Winnebago Industries. They're recalling 519 model year 2015 Winnebago Era, View, and Itzica Navion vehicles, manufactured from September 11th, 2014 through February 27th of 2015. All of these are essentially Class B's built on the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter chassis by Winnebago, and particularly the Era. They're a very popular Class B. The problem is there is a component attached to the door jamb, an abutting wedge. It's aimed to make opening the door easier after there would be a severe frontal impact, but it may have been installed improperly, and a greater force than most people should can exert may then be necessary if it was in an accident to open the doors, and that could increase the risk of injury. So they're recalling 519 models. Now, if you have one of those, you don't have to do anything, because Mercedes-Benz will notify all of the owners, and then their dealers will check the installation of that wedge and correct it as necessary free of charge. It's expected to start any time now by the end of March, and that's where we are now. So those of you who have an Era, a View, or a Navion from Winnebago will be hearing, if it's affected by that, you'll be hearing directly from Mercedes-Benz. Okay, a lot of us like to camp and overnight in Walmarts around the country. And to Walmart's credit, they have been incredibly welcoming to RVers. They allow us in with open arms in most places. Now, there are some places where, you know, communities are very paranoid and won't let overnight camping, but most Walmarts welcome it. And so it was in a little Arizona place where in Cottonwood, Arizona, a Walmart there. Gail, there's a bunch of Walmart campers there, and they're all camping in the Walmart, and all of a sudden, gunfire erupts. This was a major shootout, happened a Saturday night, 8 officers and a Walmart employee were assaulted in that parking lot in a fight that left one suspect dead, another wounded, and 7 people arrested. Happened after the Cottonwood, Arizona Police Department received a call about, it was a little before midnight. Imagine these RVers, they're sleeping right in the middle of this. They got a call from a Cottonwood Walmart employee reporting that somebody was shoving a female employee in a store bathroom. And so this is according to the Arizona Department of Public Safety. Officers showed up and the suspects were then in the parking lot and they attacked the officers. One suspect was shot and killed during this fight. Another was shot in the abdomen, and a total of 7 others were taken into custody. This was a wild shootout and melee. The suspects were all of the same family, and they were arrested. 5 adult males, a woman, and a female juvenile. All of them refused to give their names. They were all booked under aggravated assault charges, but they had Idaho plates on them, and apparently they had been staying overnight, sleeping in that parking lot for quite a while. The officer who was shot in the leg on this, one of the suspects went for his gun. The suspects, like I said, have been staying in a Suburban SUV for at least 4 days, according to other RVers. And it was quite a shootout. So there you go. For those of you who think it's all nice and peaceful and quiet, even in a Walmart parking lot, it can get pretty crazy. Okay, finally in our news this week, where do you think the best place to overnight or best place to retire is? Where is the best place to retire? A lot of states probably call. Hawaii, everybody like that, right? Pretty expensive there, though. Florida, that's where Jennifer and I are right now as we record this episode. And believe me, I think a lot of people have. Holy cow, there's a lot of people down here. This is one very crowded state. It's a good thing they have 2 coasts because at least they're divided up among most coasts. If they're all on one coast, it would tilt, I think, the whole state, this little peninsula. But Florida and Hawaii may be the dream retirement spots. But the best state in the country, according to a big new survey, according to Bankrate, what do you think it is? Wyoming, which is probably my favorite state. It's a toss-up between Wyoming and Montana. Absolute my favorites. So I was delighted to see that. I'm pointing that out to Jennifer because I've told her I wanted to go there. This Bankrate survey rated all 50 states according to several factors. They included local weather, the cost of living, crime rate, health care quality, the tax burden, and senior well-being, which is sort of a measurement from the Gallup HealthWays Well-Being Index that quantifies how satisfied residents 65 and older are with their surroundings. Anyway, every factor was weighted according to the national survey on what people value in retirement. And Wyoming came out on top of the list for its low cost of living, its low crime rate, its low tax burden. And there's some other states that round out the top 10 best states. They are, you ready? And these are all good states for us, at least according to our travel schedule. Colorado, Utah, Idaho, love all of these so far, Virginia, Iowa, Montana, there it is, that's my second favorite state, South Dakota, probably my third favorite state, Arizona, and Nebraska. I like all of those states. All of those are the next 10. That's the top 10. Now, what do you think the worst state is? The absolute worst state to retire in? Now, this could be a surprise. Arkansas. Arkansas has, and that's surprising because it has a very low cost of living. It has lots of outdoor recreation, but it got very below average marks for the weather, too hot and humid, for crime, for health care, taxes, and well-being. Other states that ranked at the bottom included New York, Alaska, West Virginia, Louisiana, New Jersey, Hawaii because of the costs, Kentucky, surprising there. It's another one of my favorite states, like Kentucky, Missouri, and Oregon. Oregon, again, because of cost, according to the survey. So anyway, 3 in 5 Americans say they want to spend their golden years in another city or state. That's why so many of us travel in RV, because we love so many states we can't make up our mind. 24% of Americans say that being close to family is the most important factor in deciding where to retire. Women value a cheap cost of living more highly than men, 59% to 43%. And 4 in 10 Americans say locales, here we go, with access to mountains, rivers, and other outdoor recreation would be most appealing. 25% prefer living near a beach. So you can find out. I'll put a link to the entire list. But there you go. Wyoming is the top of the list in terms of the best place to retire. How about that one? You like it?
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Well, we keep hearing about privacy online, and you can make no mistake about it. Knowing what you do on your smartphone or tablet is extremely valuable to a lot of different organizations. I'm not talking about hackers. I'm talking about Facebook, Google, and many, many others. But with some very cool apps that I heard about this week, you can have a fighting chance at least at keeping your activity just your activity, keeping it private. So I have 3 apps to suggest. And again, if you're driving as you're listening to this, don't try and write this down unless somebody else will do it for you. Just go, when you get to a computer, go to roadtrekking.com/28, and you'll find links to these under the show notes. Disconnect is the first app. That's just exactly what it does, disconnect. It's so effective, in fact, at blocking Google tracking. Google's a big tracker of what you do, that Google got so mad about it because it couldn't get through it that it briefly took it out of the Google Play Store last year. You can get it now there, though, so it's back. It's a great option for keeping private what you do online through your phone, whether it's an Apple or an Android, and the free version even blocks mobile malware, mobile trackers. You can pay a reasonable fee and get a little upgrade that will protect you from so-called malware or advertising that's distributed through ad networks and kind of embeds itself on your smartphone. Hate that stuff. So check that out. Disconnect. It's a pretty cool app. Another really neat app, very handy tool for smartphones, is called Ghostery. You can get this app and you can see exactly who is tracking you, and you'll be amazed. Everybody is. Ghostery will give you the power then to block the little scripts and the images and the objects and the framed documents that all these companies use to monitor you. And you can just go through and say, well, do you trust these companies or don't? And you can block them. It's free for Apple and Android. So Ghostery is the second app. And another app, and this one is only for iPhone users. It's the one I use. It's called WebBlock. WebBlock or WeBlock is really the name of it. But you can either call it WeBlock or WebLock. Take your pick. It's WebLock. And this app allows you to block mobile advertising, including those annoying video ads. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that sometimes automatically open? I hate those things on my smartphone. So you can stop those. And you can also block various types of content. You can use filters. You can create rules that will let you blacklist or ban or whitelist or approve any different URL or a domain or an IP or network if you're a little more technically inclined. I like this. You can even synchronize your configuration between all of the devices that you use with this app, smartphones, tablets, computers, by iCloud, the Apple online cloud service. That app cost $1.99, but it's pretty cool. So there you go. Again, I'll put links to these under show notes, roadtrekking.com/28. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Hey, have you heard the big news from Verizon? They got a really cool new phone now that they're carrying, the Nexus 6. I tell you, the Nexus 6 is one hot phone, and it's now available through Verizon, and there is a lot to admire from this Google-inspired device. It is complete with the new Android Lollipop operating system, and the Nexus 6 has, if you're looking for a new phone, you're going to like this. It has all sorts of new features that will take your mobile experience to new heights. Not only does it boast a beautifully designed 6-inch quad HD display, it's also very easy to navigate. very intuitive to use. You can combine that with an ultra-fast quad-core processor, dual front-facing speakers, unbelievable sound from that, a 13-megapixel camera, unbelievable quality with that camera. I mean, you have everything you need to take on the day right in your pocket. And something that is really cool with an Nexus 6, it comes with a turbocharger. And that, if you plug it in to charge, it gives you 6 hours of battery life, and you get that in just 15 minutes. So if you want to check it out, visit your local Verizon retailer today. And you can take advantage of the Nexus 6 for a test drive. You can learn how you can take advantage of Verizon's More Everything plan, which is a great deal to save money. So for a limited time, individuals and families who switch to Verizon get a $100 bill, $100 bill credit with each new Verizon Edge smartphone activation. So isn't it time you join the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network? Visit roadtrekking.com/VZW. for stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion
you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Well, joining me is my lifelong traveling companion, and we've been doing a lot of traveling the last couple of weeks, my bride and my best pal, Jennifer.
Yeah, we have been, I shouldn't say we have been doing a lot of driving. You have been doing a lot of driving.
You want to tell them why I'm doing all the driving?
Rather embarrassing. I worked out at a YMCA in Georgia, and I left my driver's license and my silver sneakers card. They, for some reason, the young man thought he needed to make a copy of it, and we had about 10 minutes there of paperwork for me to work out for a day, and all the confusion. I walked off without my driver's license.
So I have had to drive about 1,000 miles so far in Florida all by myself.
I know.
Oh, you've just lollygagged around the back of the RV.
Oh, I know. I really do feel guilty about that because it's not fair. Plus, I enjoy driving. I don't mind it at all.
Well, the good news is that we found the driver's license. We just have to stop back in Georgia on the way back home, which we can do. And then guess what? You can drive all the way back.
Oh.
And I can just blog and read the blog, write some stuff.
Yeah, I've spoiled you. You're used to being able to do a lot of your work while I'm driving. And I really can't believe I forgot my driver's license. That'll be a learning lesson, and I won't do it again.
We'll have to do a story sometimes on how we do roll as we're driving, because we all have these little activities we do besides listening to audiobooks and stuff. Hey, our Off the Beaten Path report is one that is one I bet you've missed. Now everybody goes to Florida, but this year we took a little break because, we just were sick of that weather.
We needed to get warm. We just needed a little break. And Michigan has a lot of gray sky, and we needed some sunshine and some warm weather.
We got invited down by the folks at Leisure Time RV in Orlando to come and meet some of their people on St. Patrick's Day, and so that was all excuse we needed.
That was so much fun. The people that came, it felt like just meeting old friends.
Yep, and we're gonna meet a whole bunch of them right after this. We got a whole nice little segment we did down there. But so anyway, that was our excuse, and we went down to basically the Naples Fort Myers area. And we really like that. Now, that is not off the beaten path, but we should tell you what we found from there. We had an interesting place where we stayed this time.
We stayed at Naples, Marco Island, KOA, in southwest Florida.
Far southwest, right down at the bottom.
Yeah, it's a long drive down there, but the weather is always warm, always sunny. You just can't beat it down there. We love this part of Florida. We've been there many times before. When our kids were young, we rented condos on Marco Island for many years, and then you and I have been down there. This is our second time down there with an RV.
Yeah, last year we were at the Naples Motor Coach Resort up on US 41, just east of Collier, right on Alligator, or I guess it's the Tamiami Trail, right through the Everglades. And that's a Class A motorhome resort. And we had a sort of a special exemption because they invited us down to do a report about the place, which gave us a chance to see what that was like.
Yeah, we had a spot next to the trash can.
Yeah, they put us right next next to the garbage dump.
Oh, that was funny. But, you know, it's enough to give you an inferiority complex. You know,
oh, my gosh. It was like being
like
in a...
one quarter the size of most of the pigs.
Like surrounded by skyscrapers. It was, I mean, a very nice resort.
Yeah, everybody was very nice. Absolutely beautiful resort. And I loved it because they had a nice workout area. People were so friendly.
But anyway, nice. We did not go back there this year.
That was our joke. So, I don't think they would have let us in.
They wouldn't have let us in. So we picked the Naples Marco Island KOA, and that is kind of an interesting place. And here's where it is off the beaten path. The Naples KOA is just off Collier Boulevard at the end of the 10,000 islands on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and it's right near the Rookery Bay National Estuarine Research Reserve. And that's the off-the-beaten-path area. I bet you've never known. I mean, you have access to it right. You can, if you have a kayak, you can put it in right from the KOA property into Henderson Creek, and you can explore this amazing area.
If you like to kayak, I think that's reason enough to go to stay at that KOA, is the access that you have with your kayak to go out and just go wherever you want to go from. Use that as your launching point.
And we like KOAs. And we love the Boondock. That's our preferable. But
that's what we would prefer if we had our choice.
And that's pretty hard to do down in that part of the area. We could have gone into the Everglades, but we were also there to visit some family and do some fishing and stuff. But this Rookery Bay is a pretty neat place. It represents one of the few remaining undisturbed mangrove estuaries in North America. It's a beautiful place. It's very big.
It's an amazing world that exists within the 110,000 acres of nearly pristine mangrove forest. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Uplands, protected waters, lots of wildlife, including 150 species of birds. Many of them are threatened and endangered as well. They live in that environment in the Rookery Bay, and the upland hammocks and the scrub. It's just an absolute gorgeous place. Lots of wildlife.
You know, and the yellow-shirted KOA guide who let us in the campsite told us that wildlife was very abundant and to make sure that we put away our trash every night because bears frequently roam through the campground a couple of times a year. And they even said somebody spotted a black panther that prowled around in the nearby Everglades. We didn't get to see the panther. I was kind of disappointed. Oh, yeah, and there's also snakes. I did see one big old black snake. He was fast, man. He was big and he was fast.
They say those are the good kind. You want to have them, but we don't like any snakes.
And then somebody said that last year there was an 18-foot-long Burmese python that, you know, you hear those stories about the python all over in the Everglades. People, somehow they got loose. We don't know how they got loose, but they don't have any
enemies. No, and they're just all over the place. They even had a hunting season a couple of years ago. But Rookery Bay is what you want to check. It is a great place. I will tell you that the weather was great while we were there, but there are a lot of no-see-em bugs.
That there certainly are a lot of no-see-ems, but we did just little things.
We did a Howie Roll, and it'll be coming up later this week as this episode is released. It is March 25th, and sometime this week we'll have a How We Roll on how we kind of keep the no-see-ems out with some screens on our RV. But anyway, put that on your off-the-beaten-path report. You're going to really like Rookery Bay. We will put a link to a post that Jennifer and I just wrote for the blog, and it's got lots of pictures of Rookery Bay and also some of the really neat stuff around Marco Island.
And when we went fishing, though, my brother told us that it was a bad season this year for fishing in that area because we've been there before and we've caught lots of fish, but he said there was a red tide and he didn't know if that had something to do with it. But
I caught a lot of fish, but they weren't big.
They weren't as big as small fish.
But hey, it's 83 degrees.
And it was beautiful.
We're crying out loud.
You know, the fish are just icing on the cake. You know, who cares? It was fun. Of course, they live down there all the time, but or 6 months out of the year. But for us, it was just such a treat to see the beauty of that place.
All right, so Rookery Bay and the 10,000 Islands of Florida, a little bit off the beaten path, but particularly if you like the kayak. And by the way, if you don't own a kayak, you can rent one at that KOA where we stayed at. It's a little expensive, that KOA.
Well, it was expensive.
About 80 bucks a night for full hookups of everything.
Quite expensive. You could have stayed at Walmart, but then I guess you'd have to figure out a different way to get to the water.
Yeah, but you would. But it's a very nice, and all KOAs are clean, neat. And something egalitarian. I love it. There's all those families. What I like about it is, it's like all different age groups and lots of people.
People were really having a good time. We looked around, a lot of family reunions, people that, you know, obviously all got together, and everybody was having a good time. Everybody's very pleasant.
Yep. Yeah.
Dogs, little fenced-in dog area. Made me miss Ty.
Yeah, we didn't bring Ty on this trip.
Yeah.
He doesn't do well in Florida.
No, he doesn't like heat, and he doesn't like insects.
But, you know, we come back and pick him up, he's not going to speak to us for a couple of days.
Oh, he'll be happy to see us for a few minutes, and then when he gets home, we'll get ignored.
Then we'll get ignored.
Yeah,
he'll put us in
trouble.
But in about a month, we're taking him on our big, long trip west, which will be several months.
So he'll like that.
There you go. Well, my dear, thank you very much for being with me. Hey, if you have an on-the-road or off-the-beaten-path on-the-road report that you'd like to do, I'll tell you what you do. Go to the roadtrekking.com blog. Look over in the right-hand side, and on the right-hand side, there's a little leave voicemail button. Just click that, and then record. Take a couple, 3 minutes. You can do up to 5 minutes to tell us a report about an off-the-beaten-path, and if I use that on our on the podcast, I'll send you a free road trekking hat. So check that out. Today's podcast, this part of the podcast, Off the Beaten Path, is brought to you by Audible. Audible, where you can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. Now, Audible has 150,000 titles of audiobooks that you can choose, and you can listen to them on your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, your MP3 player. Works with all those platforms. 150,000 books. Jennifer and I, when we are doing our long trips across the country, that's what we do. We listen to audiobooks. I have them on my iPhone, and I just plug them in to our the vehicle entertainment system, and we listen to them. And it is the great way. We try and pick books that are set, if they're novels, that are set in the region of the country we're at. And it is just a fun way to travel. It makes those miles go by fast, makes you enjoy the area. But what I'm really excited about is that listeners to the Road Trekking Podcast can get a free trial of this. You can get a free audiobook download. And listen, if you've bought an audiobook, you know they cost $25-$30. They're a lot of money. So you can get a free one. Just go to audibletrial.com/roadtrekking, and you can get your free one. And then it's something like, if you want to sign up, after you get a free 30-day membership after that, it's like $16 a month, a little over that, or something, $16.95, I think, a month. And I mean, that is a great price, particularly for those of you who are on the road. So check it out. audibletrial.com/roadtrekking, and I think you're going to have a great time. Now, on to our interview. Jennifer mentioned what a great time we had at Leisure Time RV in Winter Garden, Florida, last week, as we came down and met people, and we were thrilled. People came from all across the state of Florida and said hello. And I walked up with the recorder on as Jennifer was explaining to people about Ty, telling them that Ty, he's afraid of slippery floors, and he doesn't like tile, and we have to put rugs down in the road trek because he thinks that the floors are slippery, even though they're not. But when he was a pup, he sprained his foot, and he slid once, and it hurt, so it imprinted in his little doggy brain. Anyway, so that, as we walk up and you listen to this interview, that's what Jennifer's talking about Ty. He'll just sit right down and he gets afraid of moving. And then I just let the recorder grow as we talked to a whole bunch of different people. Like Jennifer says, it was like meeting old friends. Some of them we had met at different rallies that we've attended around the country. Some of them we met for the first time, and we had a ball. So let's join Leisure Time RV and our little meet and greet last week. And among other things, you're going to learn, if you're trying to buy a RV, you're ready to buy one, but you can't convince your spouse, maybe this will help you get some examples, because that's what we talk about, among other things. So let's go to Winter Garden, Florida. Here we go.
Fall down. That is afraid.
This is Jennifer.
Yes.
You're talking about our dog?
We're talking about Ty, his phobias of bugs and slippery floors.
Everyone here was asking where Ty was, and we even had some other dogs show up, but you explained to them.
Ty's been to smell other dogs have been in his rig,
yeah,
sitting on the bench.
Ty does not do Florida well, so, yeah. So he doesn't do it. Let's meet some of you. Tell us who you guys are, where you're from, and these are snowbirds, right?
Well, we're not snowbirds, but we're flying in the south. So.
But you don't live in the south.
No, we live in Virginia.
And you've been down here a month and a half?
3 months.
What do you guys that live in Florida call?
We do. What are we called?
What do you call these guys that are here in the
south? You mean snowbirds?
They're snowbirds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So we're from Manassas, Virginia, and we've been down for 3 months, and we're enjoying
this
it.
This is James, and this
and
is
Edith.
Edith.
Hughes.
And are you driving what?
I'm sorry?
What is your unit? What do you have?
Oh, we have the road trip. 210 Popular.
And you've been in one spot, or have you been in a number of different spots?
Well, we've been in a number of different spots.
So you've missed all that cold for the last month and a half.
All of it.
All of it.
I think we've talked enough.
We miss all of it.
Now, how about you folks?
Do you know how the colors change up north in New England in the fall?
Yeah.
Well, colors change in Florida, too. Only the colors that change here are the license plates every winter.
You guys are from Florida?
Yes, we are.
Gosh,
we live in Barefoot Bay. This is Nell, Rennie and Nell.
And we're Barefoot, Melbourne, on the East Coast on US 1.
And we're here in Winter Garden, so we're, what, about 70 miles?
Yes.
60, 70 miles?
Yes,
we're
exactly.
About in the middle of the state.
Yes.
The Gulf is the other 70 miles, the other side.
I've lived here 30 years, and I don't know if I like it or not, so I have to make up my mind.
Barefoot Bay.
Barefoot Bay,
yes.
What
does that just sound like?
It's
absolutely
wonderful.
The perfect place to live.
It is. It is the perfect
home
place to live.
Permanently installed.
Manufactured homes.
Now, you are in an RV as well?
Yes.
What do you have?
We have a 190 Popular.
Okay.
We just traded our 170 on the 190.
So, somebody who lives in Florida all year, where do you go the rest of the year when it gets really hot every year?
Well, in August, we usually make the world's longest yard sale.
Yes.
That runs from Alabama up to Michigan.
Yeah.
And this year, we made it as far as Kentucky.
You couldn't squeeze anything more in there.
We got tired.
You know, it's on my bucket list to do the world.
You need to do it in August.
It is so much fun.
Yes.
It's usually the first or second weekend.
And it does what? Everybody just sells on one road?
Right.
From Alabama all the way to Michigan.
And there's everything. You'll see little churches with things out, and maybe they're serving lunch.
Just over
we
a
had
week's
lunch.
Time?
It's 4 days.
4 days.
We went
over
on Monday.
Weekend.
And they were setting up Monday, but they start Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah. We had lunch. We would have lunch in the firehouse. That's
their big
money maker for the year.
So what do you guys do in the wintertime then when you are already living on Barefoot Bay?
Stay home. We stay in Barefoot Bay.
We go to Key West.
We do go to Key West.
You take the road trip there?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. We're retired military, so I can stay.
The Navy base has a wonderful place.
They don't let visitors in, though.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Hook me up sometime.
They've got about 150 spots down.
I've heard of that. Yeah. And that's a great thing for any veteran to know is about military campgrounds.
Yes. Military campgrounds.
It's not just
most
veteran,
places have them.
Retired or active.
All right. From our Barefoot Bay experts and our Virginia snowbird escapees who didn't know they were snowbirds to a Florida wannabe, right? A road
that's
trip
right.
wannabe?
Got to talk the husband into it. So.
Now, tell us your name.
I'm Teresa.
And Teresa, you live?
I live here in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Been watching the podcast and looking at your Facebook page and reading your blogs. Even got the husband now looking at it. So, you know, he's kind of catching the fever about why I want to do this. And I think I'm going to have him talked into it.
Tell us why you want to do this.
I want to go visit places. I grew up in Florida. And I can't get him out of the state very often, but if I have something that is contained, that's his, that we know what it is, we don't have to worry about bugs anywhere, we don't have to worry about is it a nice part of town or a not nice part of town, we have control of where we go and when we go. We're not looking at anybody else to help us out.
How'd you end up looking at road trucks?
I wanted something that's kind of small that I felt like I could drive. I've been in some of the bigger Class A's and even the C pluses, and they're just too big for me. I don't think I could handle driving it down the road or even taking care of it. With a road truck, I think that's something that I could take care of. I drive a Yukon right now, so this isn't that much bigger. I know it's not any wider, so this is something I think I could feel comfortable driving. I think my husband's only going to go on 3 or 4 trips, and the rest of the time it's going to be me and whoever else I can drag along with me. So I want something that I can handle.
All right, we got to give her some tips on how we can talk the husband
into it. Well, I talked him into it. What should I do?
The expensive gasoline is offset by the real economical overnight stays in campsites.
Right, so we can save money overnight and gas. What other reason? What else can we? How else can we talk to husband?
You can find a deal of more places than you do with a Class A. If you ever have a problem, which we didn't really, but you can find a Chevy dealer if you got a Chevy or a Mercedes dealer.
And you've got our Facebook group and the blog where you'll get a million people helping you.
That's probably the best, that this company has a president who goes on Facebook 2 or 3, 4 times a week and gives you advice and helps you with problems. And
it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes, he's amazing. Yeah, he does. Somebody says, you know, I don't know what to do. I have this problem. He'll say, well, come on, bring it down. We'll take care of it for you.
Or if they don't, send them somebody tells you, which
somebody
is really
else tells you.
You know, try this. Did you check the fuse? Did you check this? And it's a community, which makes it really, really
it's
nice.
It's a family.
Yes,
really
it's a family.
It's a family. Yes.
Wherever you park it, say you're in a Winn-Dixie shopping center, somebody will walk up to you and say, what kind of vehicle is that? Can I have a look? And then they say, where can I get one?
We had to sneak out of a rest area because there were so many who wanted tours. We gave 3, and then we said, come on, we got to go.
And every time you see a road track, you either wave or go over and speak.
Yes, we do.
There's something about the same.
So we got you all set to buy one. So what's your husband's first name?
David.
All right, David, it's a done deal. I think we can get you, there's a CS Adventurous XL right over there. It's got your name on it. It's got CS Adventurous David Edition. Don't put that on the side. We got him talked into it.
That'd be fun. You put this on the podcast and I'm going to be getting a phone call real soon.
All right. You guys here, at least your time, Harvey, you got them going. They'll hold that one for you. Where are you from?
St. Cloud, Florida.
St. Cloud, Florida. And what kind of an RV do you have?
We have the Road Trek 190.
Now, you've done some work on that thing.
I did. I jazzed it up a little bit in the windows with stained glass, a film.
Stained glass film. How's that work?
Well, you can buy it anywhere at Home Depot, and you just lay it on, and you squeegee out the water, and it stays forever.
We'll take a picture of that, and we'll put that on the blog.
It's pretty sharp.
Yeah. So what does a guy who lives in Florida do with a road trek?
Well,
everybody else has a road trek and comes here with it.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I go to the art shows, and we used to pull around a small little trailer with our truck, and we started bringing our dogs with us. And one thing led to another. We couldn't find a hotel that accepted dogs. So in comes the road trek.
You know, you are one of so many people I've heard that have that story, that they got the vehicle because they want to travel with their pets.
Yeah, their family.
And your dog gets one that looks like a cathedral with stained glass windows.
Oh, yeah, it's a praying dog.
But we're at Leisure Time RV, and that's where all these people have been gathered around on this St. Patrick's Day. And we've had a great time, but we thought we'd tell you a little bit about the dealership itself. Leisure Time RV is actually one of the largest road trek dealers in the country, and you guys have been selling them for a long time. I'm with Ken Prettis, he's the sales manager, and Sherry Allen, who's the general manager. Sherry, how long have you guys been selling road treks here?
I think we started carrying them in 1988.
Wow.
It's been quite a long time, and we've been on board with Road Trek since then. Ken's owned 2 himself, and we've got another salesperson whose parents own 1, and he now owns it, so we're definitely on board with the Road Trek group.
I'm surprised at how big of a Road Trek community there is in Florida. I'm kidding everybody out there saying, wait a minute, everybody buys a Road Trek so you can come to Florida, but these folks all live in Florida and have it. And Ken, you have one. You have a more unusual one, though.
Yes, I have a 190 07 4x4.
Now, how'd you get a 4x4 out of it?
Well, it just happened to come in here and seemed interesting. I thought it'd be kind of different. I've been in situations, only a couple where it was really sandy, where my prior one was an older 95 210, and I couldn't really get there. And it was too much sand. So the idea of having a 4x4, maybe going some places, maybe boondocking like you a little bit, might be good.
Right. Sherry, tell us about this dealership. You said you started selling road trucks in 88, so you've got a pretty good sense then after all that experience about why road trucks and that small motorhome lifestyle is so popular and seems to be increasingly so these days.
Well, I think that, you know, people want to kind of free themselves of a lot of encumbrances, and yes, it's small and it is cozy when you spend a lot of time in it, but you know, we find that we really don't need all that many things, you know, to be happy and to travel and see and experience, you know, the RV lifestyle. So we've actually been in business for over 40 years. My dad started the business in 1970, and we've survived a lot of things. We've seen a lot of things, and road treks have been gaining in popularity. I think, you know, partly because of these issues of our life so complicated. We just, you know, want to enjoy things a little more simply.
That's good. And the trends that you're seeing, obviously, across the country, every time we visit a dealership, everybody says, this is great, keep it up, you know, the business is booming again. But what are you seeing in terms, Ken, as people come in? Is there a difference in what they're looking for now than there were, you know, even post-recession, before the recession started, and now that we're out of that, we go back a few years, what are they looking at?
I think that the trends are people still want to go, but I think they're sensing these big, long units and stuff like that, hard to get into gas stations and campgrounds and things, just real usability, that the more compact traders and driving units are becoming more popular. A lot of people, especially if gas ever does go back up again, they start looking at it and saying, gosh, well, maybe we won't use that great big thing, or maybe we should get rid of it. And so they don't really feel very good about their investment in it. But when you use something, you don't mind paying for it. And I think that the more compact units, whether it be a driving or towing or whatever type of unit like that, that they use it, they don't mind paying for it.
Last thing I want to just talk about is people come down here, there's snowbirds, and then there's the locals. It's now a business where people shop online and call them up. So somebody can buy one from you guys from anywhere in the country, right?
They absolutely can, and they do.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty good presence on the internet across the country, and we get calls. We've delivered units to California, and it's, you know, it's a matter of they want to buy from some place where they feel like the people are knowledgeable. You know, they need to have confidence in the dealership, and we have been able to project that through our website and through all our customers that we've sold for the last, what is it? It's like 20 years?
Yeah, a long time.
Almost.
Yeah. It's interesting. The other thing I didn't ask about road treks. Yeah, it's, what is it, 22 years or something like that?
I have to get out. 80,
did you say? It's been a long day here after Leisure Time RV. Did we talk about the resale value of these things? Are they still holding resale value?
They are. Road Trek actually has adjusted in the last couple of years here from the NADA books and stuff like that, and they jumped them up $4,000 or $5,000. So they're pretty, you know, true to that. The real new models are maybe a little high in the retail numbers from what a couple of years old and stuff like that. But yeah, they're holding their values, and especially, you know, a lot of people want to buy a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, whatever unit. They're worth all the money.
Well, check it out, folks. Leisure Time RV. We've really had a great time here today. We've met a lot of people from all over Florida, really. And as soon as I mentioned that we were going to be here, I don't know if you saw in our Facebook group, people said, oh, I bought from them, or they helped fix a problem I had. So a lot of goodwill there.
One more thing is that it's a pretty cool thing is that we have people from all over the United States call us for parts. I guess a lot of dealers don't really want to mess with it or something. Our parts manager, Maureen, loves parts, and we're more than happy to work with Road Trek and to help folks get their parts anywhere in the United States, and we do, so it's a pretty cool thing.
And this is a pretty good thing, is Road Trek is from Canada, and so lots of times the shipping is a lot more from Canada if they ordered it from the factory. And
they'll actually help handle it. We just, the middle person, people have their questions and monies and all that sort of stuff, so we handle all that, and Road Trek works with us, and they get their parts.
They drop ship it directly, actually, to them. them.
So this is a great deal.
We just handle all the paperwork, and we get them the right thing, and then Road Trek ships it directly to them.
So we can call Maureen. Maureen will tell us what we need.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Absolutely. Good.
All right, I got to go meet Maureen.
All right.
Yes, you do.
Okay, we found her. We're in the parts and service part here, and we were with the famous Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm good. I want to know, how did you guys come to be this kind of like this central clearinghouse for Road Trek parts around the country?
We've been a Road Trek dealer for a lot of years, and my husband and I own one or two, and we're just cut out.
All right. So you sell parts everywhere, right? No matter if I got a, if I need a Road Trek and I'm in Utah, I call you.
It's true. I can ship you parts anywhere in the U.S.
Tell me what the most common part that people need.
Common part. Probably a cabinet catch.
A cabinet couch?
Catch.
A cabinet catch. Oh, do I know those well.
Curtains here.
Oh, yeah. They need curtains. We've got curtains here, too.
Do you have the same model from their model here? Do you have different kinds of curtains they can choose from?
I have curtains anywhere from about 95 through 03 in stock. Not everyone, but I do have a lot.
Now, I just walked back here and I looked and I see something called the bedding solution for your Road Trek, RV Super Bag. I bet I have sold 100 of those directly to them, through them, by referring people to that place because of how sleepy. I have the king size and two twins.
I've got a variety of them up here. I've got the king size and the twins in various colors. And again, with our van, we have used them for a number of years.
You know what's so neat about this is you can get the sheets with like 300 stitching in them.
Yes, that's true. And you can machine wash them. You can take them right out and machine wash them.
We do. We have, and it has a winter and a summer side. And
yes.
That's my favorite accessory of anything we bought for our Road Trek.
And the fact that they zip on both sides.
Yep.
So somebody can get up in the middle of the night without jumping over the other one.
Now that's where you can tell that Maureen is actually a Road Trekker because she's been there. All right, so curtains and what other kind of things?
We sell the folding mattresses for the newer vans, and you know, we just drop ship them directly to where the customer wants. They don't have to come here to pick it up.
So latches, curtains, the folding mattresses. How about, let's see, what else goes wrong? How about the sliding step?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, we have had to repair a couple of the steps.
And they're easy to fix. The Fantastic Fans, those are all warranted by the Fantastic Fan Company.
They have, for a number of years, sent out parts at no charge. Maybe now they want the shipping, but they'll pretty much send out a part for free.
All right, we found Maureen, we found parts, we found Ken, we found Sherry, we found customers. I'm going to go find some green food here because this is St. Patrick's Day.
There's still some green food here. It's been here for a long time.
Oh, wait a minute.
No,
that
not
wasn't such a good idea.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland.
Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog.
Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking.
Road Trekking.
Well, that is another edition of Road Trekking, the RV Podcast. Hey, remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of our podcast, you can record a voice message. Just click the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. You can find all of the resources and the links that we talked about in this edition of the program on the show notes page, which is roadtrekking.com/28. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/roadtrekking. And if you're on Twitter, follow me at roadtrekking. I'd also appreciate it if you'd subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We release new episodes every Wednesday. Till the next time, I'm Mike Wendland, Road Trekking across North America. Thanks for putting me in your ear.